I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room. Practice is underway as National Basketball Association teams get ready for a shortened season they hope will happen in several weeks. Head coach Brett Brown has been assessing his Philadelphia 76ers players.
As the practice goes on, you can start to really feel and see an endurance type of deterioration or a maintenance of a standard.
Brown feels his team seems to be in good shape.
I felt like it was a pretty good judgment of are they in decent shape? Did they attain that B goal that I had put to them? And I can confidently say I believe that they have.
Veteran 76er center Al Horford is happy to be back and trying to set an example for his teammates.
Yesterday was our first full day of being out of quarantine. That was nice. Yeah, that remains the big question. I do believe as professionals, we're here to do a job, and we need to hold up to that standard. My hope is that everyone does follow along. This is a big challenge, and I think individually as men, we all have to, make sure that we're doing our part.
The training camp phase in Orlando, Florida will continue through July 24th, when the Sixers will play their first exhibition game against the Memphis Grizzlies. In addition to carrying the burden of staying safe from coronavirus, NBA players are also figuring out their role with social justice messaging. Los Angeles Lakers superstar LeBron James says he will not replace his name with a message on the back of his jersey. Teammate and seven-time NBA All-Star Anthony Davis agrees.
I was kind of torn between the two. Should I go with a social justice message or should I have my last name? And I just think my last name is something that is very important to me, and also social injustice as well. But just holding my family name and represent the name on the back to go through this process, and a name and people who've been with me through my entire career to help me get to this point. We'll have a ton of ways to kind of represent, what we stand for.
Both James and Davis have been outspoken about social justice causes in the past, although the younger Davis has been less vocal than James. The Lakers open play in Orlando on July 30th against the Los Angeles Clippers.
Hail to the rescue.
Social justice pressure has finally toppled a long-standing symbol of resistance for a National Football League team. Washington is putting its Redskins name and Indian head logo in the past.
The pressure has been there for many years, and the decision should have been made prior to now.
T. Bettina Cornwell is the academic director at the Lundquist College of Business's Warsaw Sports Marketing Center at the University of Oregon.
The pressure became insurmountable from the sponsors, and probably in particular FedEx as the stadium sponsor.
That financial pressure from big sponsors ended decades of criticism that the images were offensive to Native Americans.
There was support from the Washington Post years ago saying it wasn't offensive, but almost all of the serious research has shown that it is offensive. I don't think it takes very much consideration to see it as offensive.
The move is upsetting some longtime Skins fans who feel like changing the name changes the identity of one of the league's oldest franchises. And Cornwell admits it's not an easy logistical change for the team.
If I were to say the reasons for not doing it, it would be the expense of doing it in part, because rebranding is a very expensive undertaking. You have to reimagine the physical assets of the arena, your logo, your all of your digital assets as well. It'll cost a few million.
While mixed opinions remain about the name change, Professor Dr. Aneka Logan, who specializes in corporate communication, race, and diversity at Virginia Tech, says the difficulty of change can lead to a positive outcome.
Merely changing the name is not going to change the conditions of inequality and racism and the things that people have been protesting for so long. But I think that a name change can move beyond the symbolic into the actual material and creating actionable change, because in the first place, it will create conversation. Some of the conversation might be uncomfortable, but if we don't have conversation and talk about these issues, we cannot move forward.
Other teams like the Cleveland Indians, Atlanta Braves, and Kansas City Chiefs will be watching how the Redskins' name change plays out.
One of the things they have to first recognize is no matter what they change the name to, the mere fact that they're changing the name is going to elicit some backlash, and they need to be ready for that and comfortable with it. Beyond that, I think it's also important that they and similar organizations engage with your local community, engage with the Native American community, engage with all of your stakeholders in the process of the name change, and ensure that it's something that authentically aligns with your corporation's values.
Amid many social protests over the past several weeks, more than a dozen Native American leaders and organizations wrote to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell last week, demanding an immediate end to Washington's use of the name.
History is history. The past is the past. We cannot change it, but what we can do is learn from it and figure out how to use it to create a more productive and a more inclusive and a more harmonious future for everybody.
Replacement names for Washington include Warriors, Warhogs, Wolves, and the Red Tails, which refers to the Tuskegee Airmen from World War II.
Absolutely vindicated.
Football across the pond has fans cheering for their team after winning a court battle. Dante Friend is a Manchester City fan.
This club's been dragged through the mire. The mud has been thrown at our club for years. The club said very much that we're innocent, that we can prove where the money's come from over the years. And it should not have even got to this case. So heads must roll at UEFA as far as we're concerned. David Gill, evil term, no credibility whatsoever, should look at your own positions now.
The Court of Arbitration for Sport overturned UEFA's two-year European competitions ban on Manchester City for alleged breaches of financial fair play. Another fan, John Baker, had no doubt about his team.
To be honest with you, I always thought we was innocent. And why would the club do things underhand if they knew they could get done for it? You know, they've been dragged through all this for years. And to be honest, we were absolutely sick to the back teeth right now. I'm glad it's over. We can actually go forward now and do what we're supposed to be doing. Playing football in Europe, yes.
Baker echoes fan sentiment about what they feel is an unjust fine their team still has to pay.
What's come out of this today is, you know, £10 million fine, and that's just for not cooperating, not for being guilty or anything. Why should you cooperate with, in my opinion, a corrupt organisation? You just say, I'm not speaking to you. Well, I'll see you in court. So that initially, that's why we've been fined £10 million.
But with the episode over and the team cleared, fans are ready to move forward and play for wins and titles.
The players we've got now said they weren't leaving anyway. Kevin De Bruyne has actually come out and said he's not going to leave, no matter what happens. So now it's time to build on what we had, and we'll build up more, and we'll go and win that league again back this next season.
It's a massive win.
West Indies captain Jason Holder led his team past host England by 4 wickets in the first test of their 3-match series at Southampton.
To beat England in England is no easy feat. We were able to do it last time we were here in 2017, so we all know what the feeling feels like. But again, things have changed drastically since then, and they're a massive, massive unit in their backyard. So to start the series as well is very, very promising for us, and we feel very proud of the way we've performed.
Holder's side chased down a target of 200, thanks mainly to Jermaine Blackwood, who scored nearly half that amount with a strong 95. Although it was fast bowler Shannon Gabriel who was named man of the match for his 9 wickets.
We strive to win every single test match we step on the field to play. Yes, in the past we haven't started a series as well, and we've been always made to play catch up. But it was just really important that we started this series well. I think England missing Root is obviously a big miss. You know, he's a high quality player.
It's the first time in 13 years that the Windies have won the opening test of an overseas series, and it featured Holder against England's stand-in captain and fellow all-arounder Ben Stokes.
Yeah, it's cricket, man. I guess it's just ironic that when he comes to bat, I guess I'm on the ball, and you know, when I come to bat, he's on the ball. But again, he's a competitor, man. I expect nothing less from Stokes. You know, he's one of those guys who plays cricket with everything he's got. You know, he gives it his all, and I thoroughly respect him. You know, but for me, that gives me that adrenaline rush. And you know, you just want to dethrone him and not let him get it. And similarly, I guess when it comes to bat, he feels the same way.
The second test with England at Old Trafford in Manchester is underway Thursday. Chinese badminton legend Lin Dan has retired. It was mixed feelings to quit the Chinese national team. I have been in the team for 20 years. I won't say there's any regret, but I have other feelings that are very hard to describe. As soon as I published the announcement of retirement, I felt relieved. It is great. I got a lot of warm wishes from my friends that day. Lin Dan ended his international career with Olympic gold medals at the 2008 Beijing and 2012 London Summer Games, 5 world championships, and 4 Asian titles. Looking back on my 20-year career, I am really proud. I have been with the national team for 20 years, which I had great memories. Not all the athletes can compete like that for 20 years. I'm happy and proud of it. Lin Dan played down the possibility of becoming a coach in the future, but admitted he is aiming to represent Beijing to compete in the Chinese National Games in Xi'an in 2021. If you can't go figure skating because of coronavirus restrictions, at least hand out some awards, by remote video, of course.
The winner of Most Valuable Skater from 2019-2020 is...
Yuzuru Hanyu!
Japanese phenomenon Yuzuru Hanyu took the top honor at the inaugural International Skating Union Awards.
Figure skating is a sport, yes. There shows that we are athletes and competitors. You can't compete with only one skater. There's so many amateur skaters who get there to compete, and this is how figure skating as a sport is made.
The 25-year-old double Olympic and world champion, one of the most decorated athletes in the history of the sport, picked up the most valuable skater accolade decided upon by a jury made up of fans, worldwide media, and ISU member federations.
In almost every moment of my daily life, I'm constantly thinking about figure skating, and I am always hoping to become better and stronger. And spend every day trying to become better at something to be able to do.
The Best Newcomer Award went to 16-year-old Russian Aliona Kostorneya, one of the few female skaters to land a triple axel in competition.
When I was one in the top three, it gave me extra motivation in training, and it pushed me to become even stronger. When I started the season, I couldn't imagine that I would be able to achieve.
A Lifetime Achievement Award went to 4-time world champion Kurt Browning of Canada, the first skater to land a quadruple jump in competition, specifically a quadruple toe loop.
Stand up!
Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the sunny side of sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the sunny side of sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
Formula One Mercedes driver Lewis Hamilton of Britain won the Styrian Grand Prix on a twisting track that happens to be his least favorite.
Honestly, this is a track that I don't know why there are tracks that some drivers are stronger and stronger than others, but this is one of my weak circuits, so to get a performance like this today, I'm over the moon. I'm so happy. But I do also know that it's a long way to go.
Lewis accelerated from the pole position and was never challenged as he clinched his 85th career win to move within 6 of Michael Schumacher's Formula One record. Last week's winner, Valtteri Bottas, followed his Mercedes teammate across the line.
Yeah, obviously, yesterday was not ideal from my side, so today was a bit of a damage limitation. So I think in the end, it's not bad. Could have been worse. So, and yeah, first 1-2 for us as a team. That's obviously really strong.
With Hamilton dominant again, drivers like Red Bull's Max Verstappen were reduced to going around in circles on the rain-drenched track.
For me, it was a really boring race. Just seeing Lewis, of course, pulling away, and I was just trying to do my own pace. One lap of fighting with Valtteri was cool. But of course, I knew the lap afterwards, he was going to pass me anyway. But at least a bit of excitement is good.
Excitement in relative terms, as again, no fans were in the stands as part of the virus protocol. The memories of winning football's World Cup remain strong in Spain, where fans celebrated the 10th anniversary of their 2010 World Cup triumph in South Africa. Spain's first ever World Cup success came sandwiched between European Championship victories in 2008 and 2012. Fernando Torres was part of all three squads. We all remember those 6 years like it was something magnificent. The World Cup was right in the middle of it, and it was an amazing time for the country to join together. A huge joy. We were a great group with a spectacular level of commitment. I never saw that again in my career. And here we are, 10 years later, still celebrating. It was a year we enjoyed very much, and what we achieved was very important for sports in Spain, not only for football. Torres fondly remembers the homecomings. We embraced the responsibility with great pleasure because we trusted ourselves, and we knew we had the whole country backing us up, all together. The only but is that it was very far away, and we took ages to come back and celebrate it with the fans that were waiting impatiently for us. The arrival to Madrid, the bus, it was spectacular. Those images are in our minds and will never be forgotten. Torres said he wishes for another generation of Spanish players to achieve a similar feat. The Game Room opens with new stories each week. Or play anytime on VOANews.com.